there. Don't be alarmed. We're just preparing your listening device for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving. We do this, of course, by filling your radio with water. Don't worry. We're professionals. Thanks to me, you won't even get wet. You see, I've crammed every appendage of my body into the cracks and crevices of your radio, ensuring an airtight seal. By the way, don't touch your on-off knob. That's a very sensitive area. Anyway, I should remind you, we believe in the buddy system just like diving, so don't listen alone. Call your buddy and tell them that Scuba Radio is about to begin.
We're going to start a new life under the sea.
So, am I going to drown?
Of course not. Just stay calm and let the gentle currents relax your every muscle.
Under the sea. Under the sea.
Did it just get warmer?
There'll be no accusations, just friendly crustaceans under the sea.
Where the hell are the sharks?
And now, here's your dive guide for Scuba Radio, Greg the Dive Master.
And welcome to Hour 2 of the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg the Dive Master, Bill the Producer here, of course, as well as Dr. Nick Bird from Divers Alert Network in the studio with us today. Got a lot of questions for you, Dr. Nick. We're going to get into those in just a bit. I can quiz you on anything when it comes to dive medicine and issues that affect us when we're underwater, right?
Yes.
Okay, good. Good answer. Bill?
I have a question in each hand.
Here we go.
Are we going to do this again? Really? I thought we learned our lesson in hour one.
Wait,
about
which
that.
Hand do you want?
I'll do the right hand this time.
Very wise. What's the highest prime number you know?
Yeah.
That's not fair.
I didn't want him to tell me the highest prime number, just the highest one he knows.
Oh, it's, boy.
Yeah.
I said
seven.
I said things.
Sounds good.
All right. He's right.
There were no good answers. There's nothing in seven at all, in the left hand at all.
All
sorry.
Right. Well, before we quiz him even more and hopefully educate ourselves and maybe a few of you divers listening today, let's talk about going diving and get with our buddy Clay from Explore Ventures, the official liveaboard company of Scuba Radio. He's on the air right now. And he was, by the way, just for the record, he could hear us while he was on hold, I believe. Is this true, Clay?
You know, it's pretty scary. It hasn't happened in months.
He is the only person.
He regrets having brought it up now.
Yes. See, you know, we talked to Clay periodically on the big show here, and we had some little technical glitch, I don't know, a few weeks ago, and our on-hold listening button didn't work, and he couldn't hear us when we were talking about him before we'd bring him on the radio. And he's the only person ever who said, I really would prefer to hear you guys before I come on the air. Which is better than most. Usually, most people, when we have them on the air, Clay, you understand, don't want to hear us at all.
That's true. I've polled both your other listeners, and I've heard the same thing.
Well, thank you. I appreciate the support. It makes me feel so much better. It really does. But good to hear your voice. Happy New Year to you, my friend.
Happy New Year to you. I just want to make clear that if you want to quiz me about anything regarding diving medicine, feel free as well. You won't get any intelligent answers, but feel free to quiz me.
Well, you're starting to sound like us, that's why we get along so well, I guess. But
that's the advantage of being able to hear what you're talking about before you put me on.
Yes. Well, good point. Good point. You got me there. Well, let's talk about one of the things we just announced this last week is our first. I don't know if we're going to do more, but we have already set one up for 2011. Of course, I'm talking about the Scuba Radio Scuba Cruise in Saba. Is there any slight chance? And on September 17th, when we go out of St. Kitts and make our way back through Saba and over to St. Martin,
that Bill the Producer will be on the boat.
No, we know that. So there's no chance in hell of that. I'm wondering if, Clay, there's any chance you would join us for that a little adventure. Have you even thought about that yet or what?
You know, I have thought about that, and I think that would be a good thing to do, so I'm going to try to make it down. But
I'll take your spot.
No, I was just going to say, now we know Bill can't go because the owner of Explorer Ventures might join us. That's where I was going with. Clay, you were going to be my alibi here. You hear what I'm saying?
I know what you're saying. How's your travel schedule this year? You busy enough yet?
Yeah, I am, actually. It's going to be nutty, but you know what? I always got time for you and my friends at Explore Ventures. That's why we'd lock this in now. September 17th, this far out, should give everybody plenty of time to adjust their schedules accordingly so they could join us. Of course, Dan and Betty are going to be on board. Mermaid Tony's going to be on that trip as well. The first time for her to travel to that part of the world. And I believe You know, if it weren't for the fact that I have to go because I'm the show host, I'd probably give my spot to Bill because I've been on this itinerary 3 times already.
Well, you know, it is a little bit unfair, but on the other hand, it's such a great itinerary that, that it's sort of hard to give up a spot if you don't have to.
Well, right. Now, hold on, though. Hold on. Clay, you've been on a cruise with Greg, right? How vital of a role do you think?
I can see where you're going, and you are going to bring up a good point, I think.
Yeah,
how vital of a role does he really play? You know what? I've got 3 angelfish I've trained to count to 3, and they could replace him.
Yeah, okay. It's,
well, at least you called him an angelfish.
Yeah, good point. compared to the 4-letter words he's called me before. Greg. Which is what I was going to say. But anyway, I digress. Actually, I think, Clay, last time we were on board together, wasn't it the same itinerary?
Yep, we were on the same itinerary. I think I met you at the dock when you came back off the Turk's boat one time.
That's right. Yeah, exactly.
I was on the following week. I couldn't make it down the previous week, unfortunately, or maybe fortunately, depending on how you look at things.
Well, exactly.
It's been a while.
It has been a while. We'll see if we can't make that happen. Once again, it's September 17th through the 24th, and it's the Saba St. Kitts itinerary. Amazing, amazing itinerary. And what is really cool about this, Clay, I mean, I've been doing this a few years, and obviously you have been doing it way longer than I have, but I've had a lot of trips over the last few years under my belt. And I got to say that itinerary that Explorer Ventures offers in the Saba St. Kitts area is probably one of the most unique liveaboard itineraries out there offered to any diver. Is that a fair assessment from your perspective? Do you get that from other divers as well?
Yeah, we get that all the time. I mean, that's, you know, the remarkable thing as well is we started running that itinerary in 1987, and it's still a unique itinerary.
Yeah.
And it's just something that nobody else is doing, with the opportunity to see islands with completely different cultures and island tours and all the varied diving that's in that area. It's just an outstanding place.
It really is, and that's what sets it apart. Of course, the diving is amazing, but these land tours that you offer on Saba and St. Kitts, and you really get some local flavor of the island and get to experience something off the boat a little much more than you would if you went on another liveaboard and you're pretty much on the boat for the entire week. There's a lot of getting on and off options and seeing a unique culture or a unique island that's literally, I mean, that's not normal for a liveaboard adventure.
No, definitely true. And the nice thing about that area is the island access is relatively easy. So if you want to do a full diving schedule, you can do that. If other people want to, you know, go spend some time ashore, go hiking in the rainforest or horseback riding on the beach or visiting some shops or whatever, that's available to them as well. So it's a great itinerary to sort of make of it what you want to do for the week.
Now, Clay, I know that you're not really a medical professional of any kind. You're not a therapist of any kind.
Oh, here we go.
But I do know that you run Explorer Ventures, and you can find out more information at exploreventures.com. But do you think that all of the fantastic things you're saying about this particular itinerary, do you think it's just getting mean-spirited at this point since I don't get to go? Do you think that what's happening here is just it's more salt being poured into the wound?
Well, you know, it could well be, but my question back to you would be, why are you so familiar with what therapists are like?
clearly, you haven't spent in excess of 10 years working every Saturday with Greg.
Yeah. Well, hey, I look at this 2 hours every week as therapy.
And for me, it's the exact opposite.
Right. but anyway, what are you going
to
do?
Well, you always have to pay your therapist, don't you, Greg?
Yeah. Well, maybe. Maybe not. it is 1-800-322-3577, the number for Explorer Ventures or exploreventures.com. One of the other itineraries you guys are offering this year, this Grand Turk run, right? Clay, tell me about that.
Well, we have got, between that and other things, we've got so much going on this year. We're all really, really jazzed about it. We've got itineraries going from Provo over to Grand Turk one way and then back the following week, diving South Caicos and West Sandspit and areas that, we haven't dived all that often and we've had a lot of requests for. It's a beautiful part of the world and a different part of the Turks and Caicos. We're also running with that same boat, with Turks and Caicos Explorer 2, over into the Bahamas. We've got itineraries going to Mayaguana, to really remote areas in the southeast Bahamas, Samana Keys, Plana Keys, and then
you're making up place names
over
now.
To Great Exuma, and all sorts of cool stuff going on. Plus,
my iguana is not really a place name.
Oh, it is. It is, absolutely. In the Bahamas.
What's that? Which one?
My iguana.
Yeah, really is.
Absolutely.
That's a fictional place name.
In the Bahamas, right next to Provo. It's about 40 miles from Provo.
Right next to my mama's a llama.
There you go. See? Nick knew.
but we're really excited about that. And, you know, if your travel schedule isn't full yet, we might have something else to announce here in the next month or two. So,
yeah,
that'll be pretty exciting.
When Clay says that's quite a big deal. So you heard it here at Scuba Radio first. A lot of savings going on, $500 to $1,000 off select dates in 2001. Just call Explore Ventures at 1-800-322-3577 or exploreventures.com. Plenty of amazing adventures on dock for 2011.
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network. Dive into one of the greatest adventures of your life. Become a real treasure hunter. Spend a week diving one of the richest Spanish galleons ever to be lost at sea with the world's greatest treasure hunters and take home up to $2,500 worth of treasure. For the first time ever, the public is invited to dive the most famous shipwreck in history, Mel Fisher's Atocha. You'll go behind the scenes on a working salvage boat, recovering treasure and artifacts that are almost 400 years old. You'll learn firsthand all about treasure hunting and historic shipwreck conservation. You'll see the charts and Atocha's treasure manifest. Working alongside Mel Fisher's dive team, you'll have the chance to find your very own piece of history and take home authentic artifacts worth up to $2,500. Trips are limited to 6 weeks each summer, so book your trip today. Call 305-294-5441 or go to melfisher.com. Today's the day.
For over 20 years, Explore Ventures has been taking people just like you aboard their liveaboard dive vessels. You start as a guest and leave as a friend. It's a philosophy that comes from the top down at Explore Ventures, and just maybe why Explore Ventures is one of the best repeat customer stats in the dive industry. Of course, they offer spectacular diving in the Bahamas, Turks and Caicos, and Galapagos. All the details are right there at exploreventures.com, but it's the people and the friendships one makes on these adventures that really sets Explore Ventures apart from the rest. That's why for the second year in a row, we have made Explore Ventures the official liveaboard company of Scuba Radio. We're doing 4 weeks on board ourselves this year, and you're welcome to join us on any of these special adventures. However, the bottom line is, Explore Ventures does the liveaboard dive experience right. Call them and see for yourself at 1-800-322-3577 or visit exploreventures.com. That's exploreventures.com.
You know, I don't have to tell you folks about scuba diving. So that'll save some time.
I love all the fishies, all the sharkies too. When I see one come towards me, I swim like you. I love all the friends down there, hey, don't you know? There's a friend of mine, the very popular Jacques Cousteau.
All right, Nick is looking at me. Dr. Nick Bird from Divesword Network. No, he's not saying die with me. This is not the world's first radio show devoted to dying. He's saying diving. Just wanted to help you out there, Nick, because he doesn't get into the studio that often and hear all these goofy little songs that we play. And, so I kind of have to lead him along every once in a while. But it's good, and it's an honor to have you in the studio here, Dr. Nick.
Well, thank you, sir. It was lovely to be here.
Yes. Now, let's talk about some of the other things that Divers Alert Network does. Now, I know you guys obviously have, you know, every accolade in the industry for sure, but even outside of the industry, we mentioned the WMS, the Wilderness Medical, what is it?
Society.
Yep. The new affiliation you have with those guys, and obviously
do
that.
Do you ever take notes during these interviews? Just asking.
What are you asking me or Nick?
Nick has notes, actually.
Right, exactly. I just couldn't read the S word. But anyway, so You work with a lot of different organizations and travel around the world and creating this synergistic effort to hopefully, in the big picture, make divers safer, as Dan, your dive safety organization. But all the research that Dan does, which is pretty much the only organization in the dive industry that does this kind of stuff anyway, so you need to support it with your membership and God knows, what is it, like it's like $30 a year or some ridiculous amount, and you get so much back in return for that. But it does fund the research that you guys offer at Dan.
Actually, a lot of people don't know this, but Dr. Nick Bird, one of his main responsibilities is signing the backs of the checks. For deposit only, Dr. Nick Bird. For deposit only. He does that. He spends about 7 hours a day doing that.
Okay, did I say I'm sorry?
He's
earlier?
In charge of
Nick, I just want to double check.
Double check.
Yeah. Okay. All right. But yeah, you do everything. I mean, you guys do so much for the industry. It's amazing. But I know you got some new, I don't know if this is a certification or what is this new accolade that Dan now has that kind of even adds more credibility to what you guys do in the research world or what?
Yes, thank you very much. We actually just got approved to have our own IRB, and an IRB is an institutional review board, and it is a criteria or requirement for any research that goes on involving people, so that you know that the research that goes on...
So you can clone people now? Is it, no, that's not what that means.
Oh, dear. Abort.
Exterminate.
Jink left. This is a requirement for any kind of a research activity that involves people so that we know that the research that's going on is done in an ethical way. And we have always had to outsource this. And commonly, academic institutions, universities have IRBs for the research that they do. But now Dan has their own. And as part of that process, we also have a panel of people, both internal and external to us, which is a requirement, both members of the community, members of the clergy. So there is a diverse group of people who look at an ethical issue from multiple layers and multiple perspectives to make sure that the work that we're doing is above boards.
Okay, so it's almost like a research certification or... license almost or something, it sounds like.
Kind of. This has also had the term IEC, the Independent Ethical Committee, or Ethics Committee. So this is that sort of...
Now, how do you rationalize having that certification and working with us?
I don't tell them about this.
Okay, good. Just double check.
Non-disclosure.
So I have a question. So seriously, if you want someone with no ethics whatsoever, we're available. You take ethical people, and a lot of times when you look at an ethical situation, you bring in other ethical people to review it, but a lot of people forget to choose the people without ethics whatsoever to be a part of that review process, and I think that we're underrepresented. So if you gave us money, we'd do it.
We'd go on dive boats, and we'd take money if you just do it.
Yes.
Right.
That's it. And just tell us what you want us to say, and we'll say it. I mean, that's how unethical we are.
I think what Bill's trying to say is that we're here if you need us. Which we know you won't, but
if the situation gets so dire that seems like a good idea, call us.
Call you.
All right, well, but this new arrangement, this is a good thing, which would obviously lead to probably more, I'm guessing it leads to less red tape. For maybe conducting more research and studies and things. Is that possible or no?
Yes, it is. It's less red tape, more personal autonomy or more organizational autonomy for the research that we do.
And they're making personal automatons. Little personal robots that can follow you around and do your bidding.
All right, Bill, I can only say I'm sorry so many times, really. But anyway.
Must stay focused. Can't keep getting distracted. Anyway.
Yes,
I love it.
It helps us to really raise the bar on the work that we do.
Yeah.
And serve the community that much better.
Excellent. Excellent. Now, I know you have been traveling a lot, but are there any particular things in the research hopper right now that you're kind of personally involved in yourself or watching real closely? Or is this kind of stuff like you're so close to it, like you tell me you got to kill me kind of stuff?
No, as you probably are well aware, a lot of the research that we do is on a more of a geologic time scale. And I say that with some tongue-in-cheekness. There's projects like flying after diving that's been going on for 15 years.
Since the Jurassic Age,
right.
This is our research.
This is right. Well, we are also looking at research that's also involving much shorter time periods. And the DAM membership is actually going to get sent out, or much of the DAM membership, a member health questionnaire. We're really interested.
I'm assuming when he says much of the membership, he means we're not sending the one to you guys.
Right. Yeah, we have to.
You guys aren't getting
specific
exclusions. We're pruning the list.
That's important to know who you're sending it to. Mm. But to try to really get a better sense of who our membership are and what their underlying health issues are.
They don't want us to skew it. Skew the research horribly.
Total outliers.
Yes.
All right, we know these people are abnormal. Right. They need a new liver. Whatever. So the flying after diving, I know, let's see, Eric has talked to me recently about this Pearl Diver thing. Are you involved in that thing?
Yes.
Yeah, about that at DEMO a little
the,
bit.
What he was talking about is the Harvesting Divers Project, which mm-hmm. has now been an international thing. We've gone to three different sites, one in La Ceiba, Honduras, one in Mexico, and one down in Brazil, looking at different harvesting diver communities. These are the folks that give us the lobster and conch that we enjoy eating on our tables every day, but they're the ones that are doing it, and we're looking at how to make their lives safer.
Yeah, which would in turn make us safer because we're getting all this extra research. So it's all good stuff all the way around. More coming up from our friends from Divers Alert Network next. Stay close to the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio.
Show devoted to diving. Greg the Dive Master, Bill the producer.
You know, I've noticed we play hardly any Barry Manilow rejoins. He was in town last night. I noticed we hardly ever play any Barry Manilow. The man wrote the songs.
But none about diving.
He is music. He wrote the songs. You got to find something. Somewhere, he must have mentioned something. He got wet or something.
Copacabana? No, that has nothing to do with diving.
It's the hottest spot north of Havana.
I've never been diving off of the coast of Havana.
Right.
I hear it's nice. But
I hear it's very nice.
He makes the whole world sing.
He does.
Yeah.
But does he make the whole world dive?
Right.
That's what we do. And you don't want to hear
us
sing.
We are the Barry Manilow of scuba.
Wow. There's a new slug line that
we'll never use.
All right. Dr. Nick Bird from Divers Alert Network in the studio with us today. And Dr. Nick, obviously one of the big things Divers Alert Network is known for in the diving world is the DAN hotline.
Yes.
You get into a jam. You have a problem. You're on a boat. Feel tingling in your fingers. The first thing you should do is obviously talk to the captain and everybody, get everybody their emergency assistant plan going. But someone needs to get on the horn to Dan.
That's
and,
right.
And find out what's going on. And you guys have a plethora of experts to help you out. What's like the number one call you guys get to the hotline? More than anything else, is there any particular issue or instance that a diver has that you get more calls about than any other thing?
Yeah. Does it really cost $40 a year?
Really? That's the number one?
I heard on the radio some guy said it was around $30.
No. It's $39.95. Or no, I don't know. It's something like that. $29, isn't it? Is it $29 or $39?
$35.
Okay, we'll split the difference.
I will let you know that only one person knew that answer. It seems like it's the sort of thing you could have found out.
It's dirt. What
it's probably
you
on the website.
It could be.
But I'm guessing
there is
a particular thing that more people have questions about.
Yes, ears and sinuses and diving are definitely the
ears.
Top question.
It's the ears have it, not the
it's
eyes.
It's a Mickey Mouse thing?
The ears have it. See, there you learn something right there.
Mice and diving.
When we come back, I know the very first symptom that you may have a problem while diving. I know what it is. I do. I'll tell you when we come back.
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network. surface interval is complete. You're now clear to dive with Scuba Radio.
Scuba Radio.
The world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio.
Dive, dive, dive.
Scuba, 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 ooba, scuba, dooba, ooba, hoba, scuba, scuba diver.
Now, I believe that's Barry Manilow.
Scuba!
All right, could...
I think Barry Manilow wrote that song, but I don't think he actually sings it.
That's, I think you might...
He writes the songs.
He does. He must
have
wrote that.
He wrote You Deserve a Break Today.
That's right.
He did
McDonald's
write that.
The jingle. Yeah, maybe he wrote that Scuba Divers. I mean, I shouldn't be so bad, or shouldn't be so
down. I will give you a confession, absolute strangest confession that I could possibly make.
Oh, boy.
The first four cassettes I owned were Barry Manilow, and I actually know, you tell me the song, I know all the words.
Really?
Absolutely.
I'm not even going to go there.
Yeah.
That would be disturbing.
It is one of my least favorite things about me.
You can't expunge those memories.
No.
Really? There's no, like, little pen we can hold up and just blank us all out from that last comment there, Dr. Nick? Come on.
Men in Black thing?
Yeah.
Just look at the light.
Need
all right, so here's the number one symptom that you may have a problem with your diving. This is the very first thing which will give you a clue, not as a doctor, but as a diver, that you may have a problem. If Greg's your instructor.
What?
He went out diving with a model and a radio producer, a guy who makes his living making commercials. He's like nationally recognized. He gets all kinds of awards for his radio commercial production.
All right, wait.
And he broke her eyes and his ears.
But in my defense, what's the number one problem most divers have issues with?
Their ears!
Their ears!
So there! See, I'm just playing the odds.
Jim's the only one that walked away, and he's got no useful skills.
Thanks for that.
Oh, boy. Don't believe everything, Nick.
Yes.
Even if it is true. but anyway, so ears and sinuses are the number one issue that you get calls about at the Dan Hotline.
Yes.
Yes, and I think the one thing that sometimes that freaks people out, like, oh, my God, my ears are going to... get messed up and it's the end of my diving or I'm going deaf or whatever. Well, the percentage of serious cases are pretty low when it comes to ears, isn't it?
That's correct.
It's just a temporary situation. It'll resolve itself either with a quick visit to the doctor, have them check you out, or it may just heal on its own.
That's,
is that right?
Yes. Tincture of time is never to be undersold. It's always a good measure.
That's
Tincture
right.
of time.
Tincture of time.
That's a great name for a band.
Okay.
but you're right. Most of these injuries are minor. Most of them resolve on their own.
Got it. Okay. So I think it's pretty self-explanatory, especially if you've been diving for a while. But for people who are just starting out, if you have some ear problems, you know, there's plenty of ways to prevent it. But if you do end up having a problem, don't freak.
Well, I guess my question is, do people call as a preventive question, or do they call afterwards and say, oh, I can't hear, and then you tell them what's wrong, and they say, oh, I can't hear you. I mean, exactly. I mean, do people call in advance? Do they call to get answers to how they can dive safer to the hotline?
Yes, yes and no. We get both calls. Sometimes people call preemptively because they've got some underlying issue.
I was
going to
say prophylactically. But I knew it would make him laugh.
Or they can go to dan.org. You guys have online seminar things.
They can ask us about questions of, you know, how do I make this better? How do I dive more safely? How do I dive so that I don't injure myself? Because at the end of the day, this is supposed to be a painless activity other than hanging out in the studio. It should be. sorry, that was just right there. I couldn't help
Welcome
it.
To my nightmare, Dr.
And
Nick.
And we also have online seminars that you can access online. Or if you have a dive club, we'd be happy to talk to you about ears and sinuses and diving as a WebEx or a webinar type
yeah,
of thing.
Yeah, right. You guys have those as now, too. And then, by the way, if you are a dive club, you need to go to dan.org and sign up for that because these are really, really informative presentations that Dan offers. And they're free.
And they're free, and they're done real time, too. You can do this as Can Talks as well, but we can do it real time for your club.
I like it. Now, what are some of the other issues? Whether it's coming through the website or the hotline or just calling up the Dan office, that you're getting or you're seeing a trend of like, hey, this is developing into a bigger issue or a longer term issue that we need to focus on or get divers more, you know, up to speed on how to prevent the problem?
A big one is underlying heart disease. I know, that's a showstopper. That's fun at a cocktail party. Let's talk about heart disease, huh?
Well, as the diving population ages, I would think that would get to be more and more of an issue.
Yes, it is. Excellent lead-in, because that's the trend that we see, that as the stable population of divers is aging, heart disease is becoming a more prominent issue.
Yeah, so what is it just age? Is that the problem, or just people not taking care of themselves, or getting out of shape, or all the above?
Fantastic question. So age is one indicator mm-hmm. of us getting older, obviously.
Right.
But there are people who are extremely fit with a high numeric value, and there are people who are not very fit with a lower numeric value.
All right. So you're basically saying that, like, for instance, myself,
who is a beacon of fitness.
I have the body of a 25-year-old,
right,
but the liver of an 85-year-old. Right. And I need to take that into a consideration into my activities. Is that what you're trying to say?
I think that's a good way of doing it. Trying to match your skills and ability and your physical capacity to the diving that you do.
Got it. So plan your dive your plan, stay within your means or in your, yes, physical capabilities. All right, I gotcha.
And as you get older, do you have to take it easier? I mean, is that really something that you have to think about? You can't do the same thing that you could do 15 years ago, 20 years?
Go out in a ball of fire.
I think that general guidance is probably not terribly wrong, but it's not exactly accurate for every person. So I don't think that as a function of age, one need necessarily not dive the way that they used to if they're capable of doing it.
Got it. All right. Dave's dialed up 888-88-SCUBA. Dave, you got a question for Dr. Nick from Divers Alert Network or what?
Yeah, I do, Greg.
Or what?
My daughter is 30 years old. She's found out that she's pregnant, and she was wondering, they're getting ready to go to Hawaii. She's wondering if it would be safe. She's about 9 weeks along.
Nine weeks and pregnant, Dr.
Hey,
Nick.
Congratulations.
Yeah, well,
that's wonderful news. And what I can tell you is that this is one of those great things that we'll never know a studied research answer for, because it's apparently unethical to actually do studies on pregnant people.
What is up with the world, really?
What is up with that?
Now, so, this is what happens when you get one of those stupid independent ethics research
boards right at your... people trying to do the right thing.
If you'd asked us, we'd have said, how's she look?
So,
how's she look in a dive suit?
Right. So the short answer is that we do not have data that demonstrates a definitive risk of that diving poses to an unborn fetus. However, what we would hate to have happen is anything happen to that pregnancy and for your daughter to attribute it to the dive trip that she was on. And because we don't have those answers, we would generally recommend, and the diving medical industry recommends, avoiding scuba diving while she's pregnant.
Go snorkeling.
Yep.
Have her float above you. That's you know what? That scenario happened to me in Bonaire.
You were pregnant when you were in Bonaire? That's astonishing.
We'll save that for another show. But this particular trip, my wife was pregnant with our first kid.
Ah.
Absolutely, yeah. And it was the same situation. You know, it was like, well, we're going on this dive trip. We got to go, but because we had this thing already scheduled, and things pop up amazingly. And
We couldn't talk. Never mind.
No, I'm talking about the baby. Whatever.
Okay.
So, but that's
belly
what we
buttons.
Did. It didn't limit our fun at all, because she went snorkeling. I was diving below her with my buddy. And
blowing still, bubbles at her.
Yeah. And still enjoyed the afternoon. So that would be kind of your recommendation as well? Maybe just play it safe?
That would be to play it safe. Just in case you end up reading stuff, we do, as hyperbaric physicians, occasionally treat pregnant people. One of the few indications is a carbon monoxide poisoning. And those people, because the baby's red blood cells actually have a higher affinity for carbon monoxide, we do treat them, because we want to try to treat both mom and the baby. But that's a rare instance in a medical thing. Short term, we don't tend to recommend recreational scuba diving.
Okay. Well, there you go.
It's one of the things that you get lifestyle changes when you find out that you're pregnant. And there are some other things. Some doctors say you should cut down on caffeine.
Apparently, you're not supposed to drink either.
And the drinking and the smoking and the carousing.
And the carousing.
Not that we're saying that Dave's 30-year-old daughter does any of that. I'm just I'm digging a hole.
Yeah. It's pretty deep. Fill that thing with water and we're going
to
dive it.
Did we get an answer to you?
Yeah, I think we did. That does it, doesn't it, Dave? Enough? It does. Yeah, he nodded. Yes, I heard him. But yeah, that'll do. If you have more questions for Dr. Nick, 888-88-SCUBA is the number to call. And we'll delve into a few other issues that I know you're looking into and covering there at Divers Alert Network. Once again, you go to dan.org. Make sure you are a Dan member. If you're diving and you're not a Dan member, what the hell is matter with you? I don't think that's their marketing slogan, but it should be.
Absolutely.
Would you like to talk diving? Greg the Dive Master's all toweled down and ready to take your call now. Call Scuba Radio at 1-888-88-SCUBA.
Bula. That's the greeting you get from the smiling, generous Fijians who welcome you to Fiji. And while Fiji's friendly people, white sand beaches, rainforest, and waterfalls are a huge draw for any traveler, divers in the know consider Fiji the soft coral capital of the world. With direct regular flights from LAX on Air Pacific, it's never been easier to live your Fiji experience. Go to FijiMe.com to book dive packages from backpacker to five-star spa resorts. That's FijiMe.com.
I'm always the first to run low on air.
I'm adjusting my BCD all the time.
It feels that I spent half my dive swimming back to the dive boat and on the surface.
You can learn to improve your diving so that you can feel more confident with your skills and more comfortable in the water thanks to the Professional Association of Dive Instructors. Peak Performance Buoyancy and the Navigation Specialty Course are just a few of the many PADI offerings to consider. Visit PADI.com to find the PADI Dive Center nearest you. PADI, the way the world learns to dive.
On the line with us is Neil Watson, the depth and distance world record holder for scuba diving. He's also the president of the Bahamas Diving Association. Neil, just what is it about the Bahamas that makes diving there so attractive?
Greg, one of the unique features is our diversity. We're 100,000 square miles, literally 50 miles from the U.S. mainland, whether it's sharks, wrecks, reefs, walls. We have everything that any diver and even a non-diving spouse could ever want for a dive destination.
You can start planning your Bahamas adventure at BahamasDiving.com. The Bahamas, our 700 islands, could change you forever.
This is Scuba Radio, Drunken Santa. All through the dive boat, not a creature was stirring except a mouse. Use your mouse and click on scubaradio.com for everybody on your Christmas list. A Scuba Radio hat for Timmy, a jacket for Jill. Scuba Radio t-shirts look great, especially on mermaids, preferably soaking wet. Scubaradio.com, that's scubaradio.com.
Scuba Radio. Scuba Radio.
We got to
get down.
Welcome back to the world's first radio show devoted to diving. Greg the Dive Master, Bill the Producer, Dr. Nick Bird from Divers Alert Network in the studio with us. Dave's not here, but he is on the phone. He's dialed up 888-88-SCUBA. Dave, what is your question for Dr. Nick?
Well, my question isn't so much of a question. You've exploited the part there pretty much about the problems with equalization on a descent.
Okay.
And what I want to bring your attention of some people, maybe they'll never experience, is the problem of saying poo-poo to that and continuing on down, blowing and snorting and squeezing and moving your ears and moving your jaws and all this and that, just so you can keep on descending.
Well, first of all, if they say poo-poo to that, that's really old school. You'd say okay. It much more creatively.
Well, the problem exists there, and some of them will experience it. Is you go on down and get into a decompression dive and then try to come up and have a reversal.
Right, I got you. So you're basically,
the problem.
So you're saying people breaking the rules and they know better, but they do it anyway.
Well, in the commercial industry, we have to do it, take it or leave it.
Yeah.
And therefore, I've had some really drastic reversals, like one after a 200-foot dive into decompression and then having the reversal take forward at 40 feet.
Now, why would you do that, though? That sounds like...
Because he's working.
Yeah,
he's not diving recreationally. Dive, yeah. He's working because it's the kind of thing where you can't say to the boss, you know what, I couldn't really equalize. I think I might go up and take a nap and then maybe have lunch and maybe I'll do the afternoon dive. He's not on a liveaboard. He's working.
Well, is that the case, Dave?
Well, when you come up and you start blowing blood out through your nose and all this, and what I'm doing is I'm trying to get these people aware that there are bad instances that can take place if you say, oh, I can do better than the laws say.
Got it. Right. Follow the rules and play it safe. Don't be, going against stuff that you know is better. And you know, I think I see what he's saying, Dr. Nick, and maybe you can give me or help me out here. You know, when our radio friend did his ears, and Jimmy will back me up on this, when he messed up his ears on that trip in the Bahamas...
A person who will remain nameless,
but
his initials are CJ.
At the time it happened, he told me that he was having problems when he got back on the boat, and we didn't think much about it till later that night, and then he was in pain, and then he explained what he did. He goes, yeah, I was feeling pain, but I was like, I could do this anyway, and he went down. And I was like, dude, why didn't you tell me then? You shouldn't have went down. You know better than that. He goes, yeah, and he was knocking himself in the head like, why did I break that rule? I knew better, but I did it anyway. You have that happen a lot, I'm guessing, don't you?
Medicine would be out of business if people didn't do that.
Good point. Good point.
I'd say that somewhat tongue-in-cheek, but Dave, thank you very much for your comments because they're really quite useful. The big kick in here is that minus people who have got to do this for a living, if you're having pain, remember this is supposed to be a painless activity. Don't force it because the downward trip is going to be uncomfortable, but the reverse trip back up to the surface is going to be miserable. And a reverse block is really just awful to experience. And then the rest of your dive trip is pretty much destroyed. So it's just not worth it.
I see this a lot in dive instructors because they're doing classes. Right. And you know, when you're doing so many classes, especially if you live in a resort area and you're doing, 10 students a day and you're doing refresher, you're up and down all the time and, you catch a cold. But like you said, you're working for the man.
Yep.
You got to pay. You got to do a paycheck, and it's like either go down or you don't get paid. And I know that temptation's there. I mean, what do you tell people like that? I mean, you just say, "Hey, look, you know what the risk is here, and you're walking a very fine line. You're going to have to deal with the consequences, or what?"
The same kind of inclination is not just for the working diver, but if you've saved up all your pennies and you're on a dive trip and you really want to maximize your time in the water and you can't because you can't equalize, that's a big bummer.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is that you're going to really just force that and make that situation even worse. So try not to dive if you're congested. People do. This is not Dan, the organization, recommending this or Dr. Bird recommending this, but some people do use decongestants as a way of doing that.
Mm-hmm.
We don't tend to recommend that, and the reason we don't tend to recommend that is that even if you're able to get down, those decongestants can wear off and you have a hard time coming back up, and you may actually worsen the problem ultimately past the point where medications will be effective. Mm-hmm. And then you really can't dive. So
then you really screwed yourself.
Yeah. So it's really best to try not to go down that road if you can at all avoid it.
Got it. So it all comes down to personal responsibility and being smart. Simple as that. Sometimes we're not as smart as we should be, but we got to deal with the consequences. Hey, let me bring up, before we finish up the show again, how important it is for you to be a Dan member. I mean, this type of information we've been covering on the show, obviously priceless, but just the $35 to be a Dan member, you get the Alert Diver magazine, just filled with just tons of information. An award-winning magazine, by the way.
He is
really
confused
nice.
Priceless, which Dan membership really is priceless, but the information on the show is worthless, and that's really... except for the things which Dr. Nick has said,
that's
worthless
right.
And priceless are not the same thing.
Well, the travel assist benefit...
Cost and value.
Yeah.
Let's just talk about real quick that travel assist benefit in itself is well worth the $35, peace of mind, because if, God forbid, you're out on a trip, having that vacation, and something happens, and you got to go to a chamber or be evacuated off an island back to the States, that is very expensive, right, Nick?
It is can be hugely expensive. I mean, and our evacuations can, depending upon what region of the world you're in, can get into the six figures.
Yeah, and that's one of the benefits of just being a standard Dan member you get.
Right.
So $35 a year, are you kidding me? That's why I'm not joking when I say, are you a diver and you're not a Dan member? What the hell is matter with you?
It's you know, I work for Dan, so it seems like I'm biased. Whether you're a member of us or you pay for somebody else to help you out, please do that so that you're covered and you can get taken care of and you get the help you need.
And it supports the Dan hotline. And by the way, when the operator picks up, she doesn't say, "What the hell's the matter with you?" they'll help you. They will.
I am the exact opposite of someone who is compensated by Dan. They're not even going to take me to dinner, but I think you should have a Dan membership as well. Dan.org. Dan.org.
There you go. Dr. Nick, thank you so much, my friend.
My pleasure, gentlemen. Thank you.
All right, till next week. Remember, it's always better
down where it's wetter.
Good dog, everybody.
Scuba Radio is a production of Overboard Entertainment Incorporated. Scuba
Radio. This seems the logical place for fish to congregate.
Remember, you can listen live or to archives of past editions of Scuba Radio worldwide over the internet at scubaradio.com.
So we're in international waters?
Indeed so.
Tell a friend and buddy up with your radio every week for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Well, it's all very nice here, but we should be going. I miss me wife and me oxygen.
Yes, we all miss our loved ones and gases. Let's go.